like I said, as you can see, we had a wonderful experience at the Midwest Preaching Camp. You know, I've come to the conclusion, I gave this message in Nashville and in Henderson, and I was thinking about it, this week, knowing that I was going to be giving the same message or some sort of the same message today. I've come to the conclusion that the church, and I want to say our youth camps, the church's youth camps, I believe are the closest thing to hands-on experience of what the millennial time period is going to be like. And I mean hands-on experience. I know while we're at the feast and such, we look at the future, and that's our focus, especially as we come into the fall holy days, the Feast of Trumpets, what it pictures, and the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, and of course the Last Great Day, and all that pictures. But you think about the job and the work that we're going to be doing, like I said, I believe in this life, this is one of the things that is the closest. Being able to, if you will, for a few days, have a concentration of just learning, an immersion of learning, and a focus with a group of God's people and the children that are of innocent age, many of them, and they're learning and they're growing. And it's wonderful to be, and they want to know. They really do. And being able to then implement what it is that they've learned in activities and the day processes. And it's really interesting to see, and it's interesting to see it unfold and everybody work together and come together. You know, whenever the staff are all on the same page, and this is one thing that I've always enjoyed since I've been a camp director, is to see the staff all on the same page and what it can do. I mean, it is an amazing machine, I'll put it that way. And it runs very, very well together. They're there for the same reason. And when they're there for the same reason, they're on the same page. And that reason is only to serve God and His people. That's it. That's it. There's no mixed intentions. There's no, you know, hierarchy or wanting recognition or anything like that. When you're there to serve God and His people and that's all you're there for, it's amazing, the beauty of it. It is absolutely beautiful. And then the fruits that are born in the campers. You get to, even within the small spans of time that we have with them, it's amazing to see the growth of these little ones. It really is. And the unity of that exists in the camp as a whole. You know, as we were getting started, the staff comes in a little earlier on the day that the camp starts that evening after the campers arrive. But the staff will sit down for about 2 hours, and we'll have some extra training. There's always pre-camp training that the staff is to do, but we always have some on-site training. And as we began the training, I mentioned to the staff and that we want God present for the entirety of camp. That's what we want. We want God to be there. And so that's kind of how I started it, and I brought out some different things in regards to that. But then that same evening after the campers, after we had dinner, I guess you saw it, we had Sunday night brisket. It was very nice, very good. My dad smoked 5 briskets for us, so 16-pound briskets at that. Very, very, very good. So it's kind of a tradition at Midwest Preteen Camp. It started, and I told Caleb, I said, man, you're going to have to keep it going. So you better figure out who's going to smoke your briskets. So, but anyway, I after dinner was over, we have the camper orientation. And so what I did in the camper orientation, I right after I'd gone over the camp rules, I brought out a passage in Deuteronomy 23:14, and this is what it says. And I read, "For the Lord your God walks in the midst of your camp to deliver you and give your enemies over to you." In other words, to protect you. "Therefore your camp shall be holy, that he, God, may see no unclean thing among you and turn away from you." And so I asked the campers, I said, "How many of you want God present?" And all of them said yes, they want God present. Absolutely they would want God present. And I told him, I said, I believe that he is. And since he's present, as we just read, he's going to walk amongst the camp. He's going to be here. He's going to be here to look after you. He's going to be here to protect you and to be there for us. And he would stay if we were all striving to live his way of life and we were striving to do things that he desired. You know, really, to be honest with you, that's something all of us should stop and consider. Because anywhere we're at, our families, that's our camps. The congregation, that's our camps. Do we want God here? Do we want Him present? We should, and I believe that He is. But personally, it was obvious to me that God was there with us the entirety of camp. And so I greatly appreciated the service, the dedication, and the wonderful attitudes of the staff, and of course the amazing attitudes of the campers, because all of it together makes a camp go well. And those who are at camp, feel free to talk to them. I know the Fords were there, the Beaches were there. Who else am I missing? Josh and Hannah were here, and then Melissa, but they're not here. Melissa and the two girls were at camp as well. All of them were present. Did I miss somebody? Jerry and Tammy, yes. Jerry and Tammy were there, Michaela was there. So we had a good showing from Louisville, we had a good showing from Nashville as well. And so we had some from Henderson as well. But one thing I will mention, there are a lot of faces you didn't recognize that were on that screen, but one thing we needed to consider is the young ones, they're all futures of the church. They're all, and those who are the older that were amongst us that we saw, the older campers is what I'll say, at least in heart, they also are part of the church, a part of the body of Christ, and or being called into the body of Christ. So we're still a big family. Even though we may not know each other, we know each other because of what we believe and what it is that we cherish. So we have something greatly in common. But for the entirety of the camp, like I said, I felt like it was obvious God was there, and I appreciated all the prayers because the weather was supposed to be absolutely horrendous, 103, 104, 105, heat indexes 113, 115. It was supposed to be pretty nasty. We had a gnarly storm roll through Sunday night, and it knocked out power, and it all looked like it was starting on a real bad path. People were sweltering in their dorms, about 12:50 a.m. the power came back on, and it was a blessing because we were in the woods and sticks, and that doesn't usually happen so quickly. But anyway, from that point on, the weather was manageable. It really was. We didn't break 90 degrees the first day, which was supposed to be 104, but then the second day it was crept up 95, and I think it was 98 the next day. But yet we still were able to keep. You know, it's like a frog in a kettle. You really didn't realize it was getting warmer, but we were doing what we could to make sure that everybody stayed cool. We had a lot of things implemented. As you saw, there were a lot of water bottles involved, kids drinking them and everything else. So that's proof they were drinking, so water. Yeah, I tell you what, language and whatever, what else? But anyway, for the entirety of camp, and all the other summer camps for that matter. And then of course, winter camp. All the rest of the camps have ended for the summer. We still have winter camp yet to go. But we had a theme for all the camps. And even for the preteen camps, we had a camp song that was written by Emily Smith. And it was entitled God's Word is a Map. And I still to this day still have that song going through my head. And I could probably sing it for you, but I won't. The theme for camp this year and into winter camp is mapping your future. And if you go to the slide, and go ahead and go to that slide, and you'll be able to see the banner that we saw every day. But on the last day of camp, after everyone had this theme literally spiritually imprinted in their minds, mapping your future, I had the opportunity to give the Last Christian Living class before we all left and kind of close, if you will, camp out and really to be close things out for Amanda and I. So I mentioned to them, you know, while they were at camp, they focused on this theme, mapping your future. I explained to them and reminded them the things that they've been taught, the things that that had been gone over, and what it is that they should be able to recall. I went over those things. And I wasn't just talking to the campers, I was talking to everybody that was there, because all of us could take something away. But then I asked them to look at the banner. In the banner, we have an area where we speak from, and behind us, about 9 feet, 10 feet in the air, it was a banner where everybody could see it in the dining hall. And I asked them to look at the banner because I had been looking at the banner, and I've been looking at the banner, and I've been looking at the banner for the past 5-6 months. I'd been looking at the banner, and I'd been looking at it even more closely while we were there at camp. And for me, this banner, there were three things that really stood out to me. And, you know, they're pretty obvious. But what they stood out and what the way the meaning of them began to, I guess, kind of flow in. But I wanted to know what they saw on the map or on the banner. And so I opened up the floor and I asked them to give me their thoughts. And I picked the campers. because I love to get their input, because it's always interesting to hear what it is they have to say. So I had one of the girls tell me, the girl's face is in the map. Okay, yeah, absolutely. The girl's face is in the map. And then one told me that, well, there's other dots. There's other dots besides the big dot. Yes, you're absolutely correct. There's other dots on the map besides, or on that banner besides the big dot. And then there was another, I believe it's a little girl. She said, the path is squiggly. Yes, it's squiggly. It absolutely is squiggly. And so what was interesting is those are the three things that I saw as well, but maybe a little bit different. You know, because first, like I said, the first girl said the girl's face is in the map. So I saw that this girl's face, her focus is where? On the map. That's where her focus was, is in the map. Secondly, we can see that the path of the destination is not straight. That's what we see. It's squiggly. And then lastly, there are other dots besides the big dot, but they're littler dots. And so I will call these sub-destinations along the path. And what sub-destinations are places that you, well, don't remain. They're called sub-destinations. They're en route to your destination. You only remain in those areas for a short time before ultimately reaching the destination. So as we close camp, we discussed some thoughts to go home with regarding those three things. It's been on my mind for the past few weeks, 3 weeks or so, and I would like to share some of those thoughts with you. Not the same thoughts that I shared with all of them, but some thoughts that I thought might be useful to all of us. So today, I'd like to look at and discuss, as we finish up in this last message for services today, discuss the map, the path, and the destination. The map, the path, and the destination. And we'll go over all three, and I hope at the end that there'll be something to glean from it. The map. What is the map? Because this is what we went over, you know. It's the map. So what is a map, though? And I wanted to pull that out first. I pulled up a dictionary definition by Cambridge, and it says this about a map, and I'll read it to you. It says, a drawing of the Earth's surface, or part of that surface, showing the shape and position of different countries, political borders, natural features such as rivers and mountains, and artificial features such as roads and buildings. Secondarily, a map is a drawing that gives you a particular type of information about a particular area. Thirdly, a map is something that shows the position of stars in the sky or features on the surface of planets. And lastly, a map is a drawing that shows the direction of travel between one place and another. So a map shows us features of something. It helps explain the position of things, to show the coordinates of things, and it shows the direction of travel. It can relay to us the direction of travel from one place to another. So one has to, if you will, have a map to understand all these things, to understand the features of something, to understand, to have a map to know the position of things, the way, where places are. And one must have a map to know where to go. I found a couple of quotes which I liked, but I found to be very true, very true. And one was from C.S. Lewis. He was a 20th century author, British writer. He's also a self-proclaimed theologian. But he was quoted saying, one road leads home and a thousand roads lead into the wilderness. Well, to ever get home, if you will, and we'll look at home as a physical thing, which that's what it is, we must know the way to go. How do you get home if you don't know the way to go? And then Lewis Carroll, he was actually a 19th century author and poet, and he said, if you don't know where you're going, any road is going to take you there. How true that is and how dangerous that can be. You must know where you're going. And you must know how to get there. So to know where we're going and know how to get where we're going or know the right road to take, we must have a map. So what is our map? What is our map? And I want to go into now the spiritual aspect of it. What is our map, spiritually speaking? Let's go to Deuteronomy 5. Deuteronomy 5. I want to start in verse 33. Verse 33 of Deuteronomy 5, we read, "You shall walk in all your ways, in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess." What's interesting is, ways here in the Hebrew is derek. Derek, and it means a road. It means a path. So you shall walk in all the paths which the Lord your God has commanded you. Also can mean course of life. We are to walk in the ways of the Lord. Walk in the ways of the Lord, the ways that God has commanded to us. And what's interesting is, if you go to the first part of Deuteronomy 5, you're going to see where the children of Israel just went back, just reviewed what? The Ten Commandments. They had just reviewed the Ten Commandments. They showed them what? The way to live. God explained to them the way to live. But then he says that we are to walk in all of those ways. In verse 32, right before verse 33, it says, "Therefore you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left hand. You shall walk in all the paths of the Lord your God that he has commanded you." That's what we are to do. So do not turn to the left, do not turn to the right, don't turn this way or that way, but go straight. Go straight down a path. What path? Well, the path of doing what the Lord our God has commanded us to do. And how do we know what the Lord our God has commanded us to do? How do we see it? How is it that we understand the path? Well, let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I'm just going to read one verse in Psalm 119. There's many, actually. The whole chapter of Psalm 119 talks about, if you will, the map. But Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So God's word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. God's word shows us the features of what God desires. It shows us the things that God wants us to understand. He shows us what it is, where it is that he's taking us, and how to achieve the things that he wants us to understand, that he wants us to grow in, and how to walk in his ways. In Proverbs 6:23, you can write this down, we're told, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light." Then it goes on to say, "Reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. A lot of times we look at the word reproof as meaning just strictly a criticism for a fault. But this actual Hebrew word in Proverbs 6:23, you can go back and look at it some other time. The Hebrew word is tokeka. And it means proof, reasoning, or construct. In other words, constructs to form an idea or an understanding, to be able to understand something, to gain an understanding of something. So God's commandments help us understand and see what it is that he's trying to show us or what he's trying to explain to us. It's explaining to us his way of life. That's what it does. It forms that idea or understanding of what God desires. God's word is the map, just as the song said that the preteens sang, and they're actually going to sing it at the feast. God's word is a map. It shows us the way to go. That's what it does. In the camp song, that's exactly what it said. God's word is a map. It shows us the way to go, to keep to the path, to follow the narrow road. That's what it does. It helps us to be able to see that. But to trust the map, we must trust the one who made the map. We have to understand that. We have to think about all of these things. We have to trust the one who made the map, who made the map. Well, that's pretty simple. We should know that. This is all things that we understand. 2 Timothy 3:16. What are we told? 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof." And that word for reproof is really, to be honest with you, it means it's been tested to be true. That's what it means. Because the very next word is for correction, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, that training. That's what that word literally means. For training, to understand, for training in righteousness. so that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The map was made by God himself. It was inspired by God himself. He inspired it to be in written form so we would have it as a map. And all that is written within has been tested to be true. It has been tested to be true. So that means that we can take what is in the map, fully trusting the things that we read, fully trusting the things that were being shown in the map. To do what? Be thoroughly equipped to do his will. That's what we're told. But this brings up some questions. Questions should come to mind then. Do we desire to know the map? That has to be something we have to think about. Question that we have to ask ourselves. Do we desire to know the map? And if we do desire to know the map, then do we study the map? Because that's important as well. So then when we do study the map, do we trust the map? If we trust the map, will we do exactly what the map shows us? Those are all valid questions. Because I feel like sometimes, and I'll say this just as kind of a side note, that we look at the map the wrong way. We just do. We look at it the wrong way. We see what the map says. We see what the map says. And then we try to explain to God what he means. I think I actually took my Bible in Nashville and I turned it upside down and I said, this is the way we read the map sometimes. And then we lay it out in front of God and say, this is what you say and this is what I want you to do. But is that what the map says? Or is that what we want? You know, too many times we do have the map turned upside down. Instead of trusting what he's inspired the map to say, we're telling God what we want it to say. Why is that? Because it doesn't fit what we want. It doesn't fit the path that we find ourselves on or the path that we desire. But God tells us, you can go back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll do what? He will direct your paths. If we really trust what the map says, that means we trust what God says. That means we will trust what God says. And we cannot then trust on our own point of view. If we acknowledge that we don't know best and we rely on God, or we relate to God that we trust him and his point of view, we're told that God's going to direct our paths. That's what we're told. He just will. God will just show us. He will show us. He will relay to us what it is that we need to know. He will guide us to understand his map. He truly will. But we have to believe that. But to allow God to do this, we must humbly accept that we don't understand the map without his help. We can read the map, we can read it all day long, and we can read what we want to read into it, but if we're not truly seeking God and his help to understand his words, because these are his words, and that's one thing that we can never, ever minimize. These are God's words. They're not man's words. These are God's words, and he put it in written form. Yes, he inspired man to inscribe, but these are God's words to be inscribed. And we must understand that. And so if we do understand that, we will humbly accept that we don't understand the map. To be able to understand the map, we have to humbly go to our Father in heaven. And we have to go on our knees. And sometimes we have to fast about it. Sometimes we have to meditate on it. Sometimes we have to fast about it more than once or twice or three times. And you keep going back to God, humbly asking him, show me what it is you want me to see. Because guess what? He'll show us. He will show us. And it will be his point of view, not ours. We'll have to meditate on those things and allow God to show us what the map means. But to understand the map, That means we have to also study the map. It isn't just going to happen. You have to get in, you have to study it, and then you have to pray about it. Then you also, once again, you have to fast about it. That's why God has given us all these tools. There's a new book coming out. And it's going to be great. It's going to talk about all of these things. Prayer, fasting, studying, meditation, and fellowship. All that goes together, and I can't wait for the book to come out. But that's what has to happen. God's word is the map, and our focus has to be on the map. You can go back to Hebrews 4, verse 12. You can look at that later. We all should know what it says. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's what it says. It says, piercing even to the division of the soul and the marrow of the bones. A discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, that's what God's word does. It cuts through all the junk and the noise, and it actually will show us, God will show us, it is living and powerful. It will show us things that we need to see. It just will. It is a powerful and living thing. It shows us what's right and what's wrong. It shows us what is true. But to understand the map, I'm going to go back to this, our face has to be in the map. It just does. Our face has to be in the map. We must stay in the map to understand the way to go, to understand how to make the right decisions, to understand what is important and what isn't, to understand and discern what is wise and what is not, and ultimately to understand the path to the destination. So what is the destination? Or I shouldn't say, let me back up. What is the path? Because we have to understand the path to the destination before we can understand the destination. What is the path? Well, I believe really we've already touched on that. The path is the ways of God. It's living the ways of God, the ways that God has established. Not the ways that we have established, like I said a little bit ago, but the ways of life that God has established. That is the path. But each of us are responsible for the path that we make. Because each and every one of us are on a path. And like I said, we're responsible. Each and every one of us are responsible for the path that we make. God has shown us the path. He's allowed us to see it. He's called us to the path. Every one of us that sit in this room, either He has called us or is calling us to the path. But ultimately, our path is drawn or created by our response to the map. That's pretty simple, but it's true. The path that is drawn or created is shown by our response to the map. You know, I told the campers, as we were looking at the banner, I told them, I said, the path to the destination isn't straight. But I was wrong. I thought more and more about that. I was totally wrong. The path is straight. And you say, oh, no, it's not straight. No, it is straight. It is straight. And it is straight because it is perfect, because it is established. This path is established by God Himself. It is perfect. It is straight. Because it is God's path that He has called us to. But the path is narrow. We're told that. And it is not easy to navigate. Actually, we can't navigate it on our own. Not at all. There are difficult spots along this path. Spots where you'll get lost. Spots where you may deviate from the path if you aren't staying aware, if you don't have your face in the map. But this path is the only path. It's the only path that goes to the destination. There is only one path that leads to the destination. So we must always be willing to follow the map. Always be willing to follow the map. But like I said earlier, too many times we feel we know the best route to take. And guess what? Our path looks like that. Squiggly. God's path is straight. But our paths become squiggly. Remember of God what God said whenever we went back to Deuteronomy 5. He says, if you will not turn to the left or the right, if you will stay on the straight and narrow path. You've heard of that, right? Stay on the straight and narrow. You'll stay on the straight and narrow path. God says, I will be with you. And not only did He tell that to the children of Israel, He also told that to Joshua as Joshua was getting ready to bring them in. The children of Israel in to the promised land. I actually want to turn there. Joshua 1. and read what was told, what God told Joshua. Joshua 1. Actually, in verse 7. It says, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. Why? That you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night." You're facing the map. "That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." If you keep your face in the map and you stay on the path, he says, that is what I've commanded you. He says, have I not commanded? And he says, you'll be of good success. And then verse 9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God then will be with you wherever you go." Be with you wherever you go. You know, when we turn to the left or we turn to the right, guess what we do? We walk away from God on the path that he has called us to be on. You know, God always remains right where he's supposed to be, because God doesn't change. There is no variation or shadow of turning with God. You can go back to James 1:17 where you can read that. But God always remains steady. He's always even keel. He's steady as she goes. Right down the path, straight down the path. We may turn off the path, but God is always on the path. The path God has called us to walk is, and I've said this already, is his path. And only his path leads to the destination. His path, as I said earlier, is straight. His path is right. His path is pure. But like I said, it is his way of life. It is his path. But his path is not easy to walk, because it is a hard path to walk in a world that doesn't want anything to do with this path. It just doesn't. And too many times it becomes easier to get off the difficult path and walk in a path that seems a little easier. It's all too easy to do. But God says, don't do it. He says, you may get tired, you may get exhausted, but don't deviate. Don't go off the path. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. Stay on the path. Don't lean on your own point of view. Don't lean on your own understanding. He says, acknowledge that I know best. Acknowledge that it is I that's going to help you. Acknowledge that it is I that's going to get you to the final destination. Acknowledge that. Because if you don't, your path is going to be squiggly, to put it in a preteen's vernacular. It will be squiggly. But if we look to God, he will help us and he will be with us. And anything that God brings to pass is always good. Anytime he helps us, it is always for our good. We already heard that in the first message. It's always for our good. It's always pure and it is always holy. Anything that God brings to pass. You know, it's when we get in the way that we make it the opposite. We make the path difficult. We make the path hard. God doesn't want us to make the path difficult and the path hard. And we're actually told, Jesus Christ even said, he says that his way is light. And it's actually easy if we rely on him. He says, cast all your burden upon me. Take upon you my yoke. Because it is light. Do we really stop and consider that? Actually, I just want to go there. Let's go to Matthew 11, because that's where Jesus Christ said this. Matthew 11. Verse 28. Says, come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden. He says, and I will give you rest. Take my, and Jesus Christ is saying, my yoke upon you, and learn from me. Learn what? The way to go, the way to live, to understand the map, to stay on the path. He says, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And I don't care what kind of trouble you're going through. I don't care what kind of trial. We've heard a lot about trials lately. There's a reason for that. Because many of us have been going through trials within this congregation, within the congregation, the church as a whole, been going through tribulation and trial. I listened to the messages from this last Sabbath. Excellent messages. But it doesn't matter what we're going through. If we will literally go to God and leave it at Him and allow Him to show us through His map, He will show us the path to go. And He will show us the light at the end of the tunnel, if you will. He will. He will be rest, it says, for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Like I said, do we stop and consider this when we find difficulties along the path? When we have to make those difficult decisions, or when we need to understand the way to go, to discern the way to go, discern how to make a proper decision. It's something for us to consider. Psalm 55:22 tells us, cast your burden on the Lord and He will sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. It's interesting, that word moved in the Hebrew is mot, M-O-T, and it means to be pushed off course. He will not allow us to be pushed off course if we will cast our burden upon God. He will help us through it. So if we fully believe the path best going forward is God's path, and we understand that He'll show us the path by keeping our face in the map, we will ultimately one day reach the destination. We will reach the destination. What is the destination? That is the kingdom of God. That big blotch up there is representative of the kingdom of God. But along the way, there's these small dots. They happen. These small dots end up in the path. These other dots, as was mentioned by a little boy, actually. But I've tagged, as I told you at the onset, sub-destinations. Like I said, sub-destinations are temporary. And sometimes these sub-destinations can be difficult, though. Very difficult. Many times these sub-destinations are things that happen that we didn't expect, nor did we desire to happen. But they happened. Not all sub-destinations are bad. But many times they are. They can become difficult. And when we get to these sub-destinations, they make us stop along this path. They just do. Life stops. Because life changes, it seems, so it seems. But I want to just throw this out there. We can't stop for long. We can't stop for long. We only stop to recalibrate. That's all we do, is we stop to recalibrate. And what do I mean by that? I mean, we get on our knees, we put our face in the map, and we ask God the path to go. That's what we do. We ask Him, what is it that I need to do? What decision do I need to make? How is it that I need to go forward? Show me Your ways, O Lord. Guide me in Your paths. Lead me. Help me. Heal me. Comfort me. Encourage me. That's recalibrating. It's a sub-destination. And all of us have these other dots on our path. But they're not the same. But each and every one of them are the same in one instance. They are temporary. They are temporary. They are temporary because they are not the ultimate destination. It is your life. And you push through. And you can only, though, push through if you allow God to lead you through. Always remember that. If we keep our focus and trust in the One who created the map, and we believe He knows best and will show us the path, and we don't give up and we continue forward, we will ultimately reach our final destination. No matter how squiggly the line is behind us, it will straighten up. I can guarantee it. Philippians 3, I have two passages I want to turn to as we close out. Philippians 3. Philippians 3 and verse 12. Not that I have already attained or have already been perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ has laid hold of me, what it is that He's promised me. That's my ultimate goal in this life, is to reach the final destination, to enter the kingdom of God. He says, goes on to say, brethren, I do not count myself to already have apprehended, but one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind and reach forward to those things which are ahead. To do that, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That is my goal. That is my focus. And the only way that I'm going to get there is if I stay in the map and if I continue to ask God to show me the path. And ultimately, He will get me to the final destination. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing. And that word has everything to do with the word temporary. Our outward man is temporary, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And that is one thing that we can never forget. The inward man is being renewed day by day for what? For what? So we may inherit the kingdom of God, to be an eternal member in the family of God. The only way it's going to be renewed day by day is if you keep your face in the map. The only way that it's going to be renewed day by day is if you're on your knees seeking God's help to stay on the path, to show you the way to go. The only way is if you accept and understand that it is only God that can get us there to reach our final destination. And that is the only way that you will be, the inward man will be renewed day by day. And it says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. These sub-destinations, this life, is not our goal. Our goal is to become eternal members in the family of God. And whatever this life bumps along, that we come along, and these things that come along in our lives that cause us to stop and recalibrate are for our good. All things work together for good to those who God has called. He loves and He's called to be called according to His purpose. And what is His purpose? To grant you eternal life and His family forever. That's His purpose. But knowing this should help us not look back, but rather pick up the pace and run with more focus towards the goal. The goal that is not temporary, rather the goal that is eternal. And always knowing who is right there helping us, has our hand guiding us and directing us along the path of this life. The map cuts through the darkness, it cuts through the confusion, and it reveals to us the way. It shows us the path. It reveals the ultimate destination. It reveals the author of the map and what He desires for us and what He has planned for us. So as the little girl said, let us all keep our face in the map. Keep our face in the map because it will keep us on the path and lead us to our future destination, the kingdom of God.